Ekatra Podcast Conversations for the Curious Essential Knowledge, Simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of Ekatra AI. Welcome back, everyone. We've gathered all the material you sent over articles, notes, research, all focused on Adam Grant's hidden potential. And today, we're going to really unpack it for you.
Yeah, we're diving deep into Grant's book, and it really aims to tear down some pretty fundamental beliefs about success and capability.
It feels like a really necessary conversation right now. I mean, our culture seems obsessed with finding that natural genius, right?
Yeah,
the prodigy.
Exactly. The sprinter who starts fast, as Grant puts it. But he argues this focus is, well, it's not just limiting. It might actually be wrong. We could be missing huge amounts of human potential because of it.
So that's really our mission in this deep dive, trying to shift that perspective, moving away from this idea of just innate talent and focusing more on developed character and building the right kind of supportive systems. That's what Grant emphasizes.
And the real aha moment, I think, is realizing your potential isn't just fixed from the start. You know, Grant gives us this like roadmap for the long distance runner, the person who builds stamina, improves over time, sometimes dramatically.
Right. So if you're looking to achieve maybe more than you thought possible, or even more than others thought was possible for you, this conversation should hopefully give you some tools.
Definitely.
So the guide for this journey is Adam Grant. He's a really influential organizational psychologist, holds a professorship at Wharton, the Saul P. Steinberg Chair.
And famously, he was the youngest professor ever tenured there, which is pretty remarkable. It speaks volumes about his insights.
It does. And that background, you know, it gives his work real weight. He's not just theorizing. He's deep in the research and he consults widely. So he sees how this plays out in the real world.
Absolutely. You probably know his other bestsellers, like Give and Take or Originals, Think Again. He's always challenging conventional wisdom, hasn't he?
He really has.
Yeah.
And Hidden Potential feels like a logical next step, almost. He seems uniquely positioned to take apart this myth of fixed talent because he's so good at spotting those counterintuitive patterns in how people behave.
Yeah, the things we miss because we're stuck in old ways of thinking. What makes him stand out, I think, is his focus on unlearning and relearning.
Explain that a bit more.
Well, he looks at why traditional ways of spotting talent, like just looking at grades or a resume, often fail. And he offers evidence-based ways to look at someone's potential for growth, their trajectory, rather than just where they started.
Okay, so let's get into the core idea of the book, the central thesis. How does he reframe success?
Okay, so the main argument is this. Hidden potential isn't some like secret natural gift you either have or you don't. It's really about how we develop the capacity to learn and improve over time.
So changing the question we asked.
Exactly. Stop asking who's got the talent and start asking who has the character skills needed to unlock their potential. Things like discipline, determination, humility, skills you can actually build.
And the problem he points out is that our current systems, schools, how companies hire, they're kind of set up wrong.
Yeah, fundamentally flawed, he argues, because they focus so much on fixed things. Your grades, your past jobs, credentials. They reward the finished article, not the potential to grow.
Which means what?
Yeah.
We miss people.
We miss tons of potential. People who bloom later, people who maybe didn't have the perfect start but have incredible drive. We overlook them because they don't fit the standard mold. The book tries to give us a new framework for seeing and nurturing that growth.
And the book's structure kind of follows that path.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
From inside out.
It does. It starts with character, that internal foundation, the learnable skills like discipline. Then it moves to system, the external structures, the routines, the scaffolding that helps automate motivation.
Okay.
And then finally, he zooms out to opportunity. How do we need to change things on a bigger scale in schools and companies to nurture potential more fairly, more inclusively? It's a whole system approach.
Got it. Okay, let's dive into part I then. Character is the launch pad. He starts with a pretty famous example, doesn't he? The Polgar sisters.
Ah, yes, the chess grandmasters. It's maybe the ultimate case for nurture over nature in achieving extraordinary skill.
Their father set out to prove a point, right?
Pretty much. He systematically raised all three daughters to become chess masters. And the key takeaway isn't just that they became brilliant players, it's how they got there. It showed that incredible achievement could come from really focused, systematic development and training.
A system designed to build character through the game itself.
Exactly. Intense discipline, learning from losses, that kind of thing. Which leads right into his next point about embracing discomfort.
Right. He calls growth a creature of discomfort. That really stuck with me.
It's powerful, isn't it? Because it hits on a core psychological barrier. We generally don't like feeling incompetent or clumsy.
No, we want to be good right away.
But Grant argues that willingness to be bad at something, even to fail publicly sometimes, is absolutely essential if you want to eventually get good. It's the price of admission.
This is where the beautiful oops idea comes in.
Yes. Seeing mistakes not as, you know, personal failings, but as really valuable data, necessary information you need to iterate and learn. It's a crucial mindset shift.
He contrasts that with what he calls debilitating perfectionism.
Right. Which isn't about striving for excellence. It's actually rooted in a fear of failure, a fear of judgment. That kind of perfectionism paralyzes you.
Whereas the healthy pursuit of excellence is just about the drive to improve. One stops you, the other fuels you.
Precisely. And the story he uses that really drives this home is astronaut Jose M. Hernandez.
Well, that's an amazing story.
Isn't it? Son of migrant farm workers, applied to NASA, what, 11 times?
11 times, and got rejected every single time.
Until the 12th time. And the key is how he handled those rejections. He didn't see them as, you're not good enough. He saw them as specific feedback.
Like data points.
Exactly. Data points telling him what he needed to work on. So he systematically improved his qualifications year after year until they couldn't say no. That's building resilience through character.
That systematic approach is a perfect bridge to part two, where he shifts from that internal character piece to the external structures for motivation.
Yeah, and this is where he makes a really strong point about willpower, basically that it's finite, it runs out.
So relying on sheer motivation day after day, it's not sustainable.
Not really. You can't just motivate yourself constantly if your environment is working against you. So the key, he says, is building scaffolding.
Scaffolding. Like temporary supports.
Exactly. Temporary support structures that help automate good habits and make progress feel, well, almost inevitable. It takes the daily struggle out of it.
Can you give an example? What does that look like?
Sure. It could be something simple, like laying out your gym clothes the night before, or setting up automatic transfers to your savings account.
Ah, so you design your environment to make the desired action easier, almost the default. You remove the friction, the decision point.
Precisely. You engineer your surroundings to pull you towards improvement rather than relying on finding that burst of willpower every single time.
Okay, that makes sense. He also talks about having a sponge mindset in this section.
Right. This is about cultivating this like insatiable curiosity, actively trying to soak up learning from everywhere.
Not just from books or courses.
Well, yeah, from peers, mentors, rivals, even totally unrelated fields. Always looking for the lesson, realizing that learning isn't just a formal activity, it's a way of engaging with the world.
He also tweaks the idea of grit, doesn't he? Which is already a popular concept.
He does. Grit, that combination of passion and perseverance, is obviously important. But Grant adds a layer. He argues that grit becomes much more durable when it's linked to a larger purpose, specifically pro-social motivation.
Meaning grit driven by wanting to help others.
Exactly. If your determination is fueled by a desire to serve or contribute to something bigger than yourself, a collective purpose, it's just far more resilient. You can endure much tougher setbacks if it's not just about your own ego or personal gain.
That's a powerful addition to the grit conversation.
Mm.
So looking at all these ideas, character, systems, what are the big takeaway themes Grant wants us to remember?
Okay, let's try and nail down the core messages. I think the first, and maybe the most fundamental, is character skills trump natural talent.
Right. And the reflection there for you, the listener, is pretty huge, isn't it? I mean, success isn't just something you're born with. It's built.
Yeah, it implies we should be teaching things like discipline, resilience, how to ask for help just as seriously as we teach math or coding.
Okay, theme two. Discomfort is the price of admission.
Mm-hmm. If it feels easy, you're probably not growing much. That comfort zone is the enemy of potential. You have to actively seek out challenges that stretch you.
The Goldilocks zone, he mentions. Not too easy, not crushingly hard, but just right to force adaptation.
Exactly. And allowing for those beautiful oopses along the way.
Theme three. Potential is a systems problem.
This is crucial. It's not just about individuals trying harder on their own. Our institutions, schools, workplaces, they need to change too.
How so?
They need to be redesigned to actually reward growth, character development, and potential, rather than just looking at past achievements or fixed credentials, like that Warby Parker example where they started prioritizing character fit over just test scores.
Right, because they figured they could teach the technical stuff if the person had the right attitude and drive.
Precisely. And the last one, theme four. Collective potential amplifies individual growth.
Meaning helping others helps you.
In a big way. Mentoring, teaching, supporting others. It's not a zero-sum game where their gain is your loss. Grant shows how helping others develop actually accelerates your own growth and understanding. It's a positive feedback loop.
Those are really clear themes, and Grant is great at boiling these ideas down into memorable lines, isn't he?
Oh, definitely. The book is full of quotes that just stick with you. We should share a few.
Okay. My absolute favorite, I think, is the one that just completely reframes how we measure success. Quote, 1. Potential is not the height of your peak. It's the distance you travel.
Oof, yeah. That one hits hard. It shifts everything from just looking at the final outcome, the static achievement, to valuing the journey, the effort, the progress made.
It values the climb, not just the summit.
Well put. Okay. Quote, 2 really redirects where we should look for capability. Hidden potential is not about the gifts you don't have. It's about the character skills you haven't developed yet.
That feels liberating somehow.
It is. Because it makes potential something malleable, something accessible to everyone. Character skills can be learned, practiced, improved. It's not a fixed lottery.
And maybe one more, focusing on the practical side. Quote 3, we are better off building scaffolds than strengthening our willpower.
Yes, that's the practical advice distilled. Stop blaming yourself for not having superhuman willpower. Start designing smarter environments and systems that support you. It's more effective.
I really appreciate how practical the book tries to be. Let's touch on a few things you, listening, could actually try doing. Starting with personal growth, he suggests this imperfection audit.
Yeah, I love this one because it directly tackles that fear of making mistakes. The idea is, for maybe a week, you consciously log your errors, big or small.
And then what? Just feel bad about them.
No. You analyze them. What was the lesson? How can I adjust? You actively reframe the error as just data for improvement, not a judgment on you as a person. It takes the sting out.
Okay, I can see how that would build resilience. What about for parents or teachers, educators?
The big one there is process praise. This is about shifting what you praise.
Instead of saying you're so smart.
Right, which praise is a fixed trait. Instead, praise the process. The effort someone put in, the strategy they tried, how they tackled a struggle. Things like, wow, I'm really impressed by how you kept working on that hard problem, or that was a really creative approach you took.
So you reinforce the behaviors that lead to growth, not just a label.
Exactly. And finally, for leaders or managers.
Creating that Goldilocks zone for their team.
Yes. Designing challenges that are tough enough to stretch people, to make them develop new skills, maybe new character strengths.
Or crucially.
Crucially, doing it within an environment of psychological safety. People need to feel safe enough to take risks, to try things that might not work, to make those beautiful oopses without fearing punishment or humiliation. That combination is key for team growth.
This book, it genuinely shifted how I think about achievement.
Mm.
For me, the biggest takeaway was realizing that the relentless pursuit of perfection can actually limit your potential.
How so?
Well, society tells us to be flawless.
Yeah.
But Grant shows that often the people who achieve the most are the ones willing to put imperfect work out there quickly, learn from the feedback, and just iterate relentlessly. It completely flips the script on what excellence even looks like in practice.
That's a great point. And for me, the core liberation from the book is just reinforcing that your starting point doesn't dictate your end point. The evidence Grant pulls together is overwhelming. Our greatest gift isn't some fixed talent, it's our capacity to improve.
Which means
everyone, really, regardless of background or where they are now, holds the blueprint for their own growth. You are the architect.
That's a really powerful and, I think, hopeful message, a truly democratic view of potential. Which leaves me with a final thought for you to ponder this week. If potential really is about the distance traveled and success comes down to character skills like effort and resilience, does natural genius even really exist? Or is it often just the visible result of hidden, maybe privileged systems of support and relentless practice that we just didn't see? Something to think about. See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Katra Foundation.